Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
How many of you have noticed that there are certain people, they're just blessed? It's like whatever they touch turns to gold. Like the hand of the Lord is just on their life. And it's one blessing after another blessing. Have you ever seen someone in your life, on your journey in this life, have you ever seen someone where it just seems like they have this great favor? Their business is blessed, sometimes their marriage is blessed, or you look at them and you think, wow, you know, God's hand must really be on that person. Or you just, maybe you haven't thought of it that way, but you kind of look at them and think, well, you know, wow, you know, they're just really blessed. How many of you here believe that blessing is real? Let me see your hands. Amen. There's about 95% of you, about 5% of you don't believe it. And you're wrong. Amen. But that's okay. It's interesting how sometimes it just seems like some people are just really blessed. They're just really, really blessed. Now, let me give you a scripture for this to show that the source of the blessing comes from God. The one who does the blessing is the Lord. And I want to show you that it's possible for you in your life to be blessed above and beyond what you could ever imagine. You know, it's so difficult for us to understand because the truth is that blessing is spiritual. 100%. It's a spiritual thing. It's the source is God. He is the one who blesses. And sometimes it will come on someone that may not even be serving the Lord, but because of generations past, the blessing seems to continue. At the end of the day, you will face your own choices, where the blessing can stop but generally we see the hand of the Lord. When He's blessed, He blesses, and that blessing continues until someone gives a reason for it to stop. Let's take a look. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. Most of us feel comfortable with the fact that God can actually bless us. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Isn't that's a major blessing? And all these blessings shall come upon you, and watch this now, and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I can tell you that as my years as a training pastor, I think I'm still a training pastor, I have learned the value of being obedient to the voice of God. And I've seen the pain of not being obedient to the voice of God. But it's very clear from Scripture, and not only here, there are many scriptures throughout the Old and New Testament that share with us the power of being obedient to God's voice and what comes from being obedient to His voice. It's very clear that the blessing will come, and it shows you that if you truly obey His voice, that the blessing will actually overtake you. How many of you here say, I want to be overtaken by the blessing of God? Amen. So we can see that clearly that's the case. Let's look at what Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 28. New Testament now, for those that... Amen. Luke 11, verse 28. But He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, blessed are those who obey the voice of God. Same thing. So Jesus in the New Testament said exactly the same thing, just paraphrased this differently, that God said right at the beginning when he began to speak to the children of Israel. It is extremely important this morning, before I get into the subject of blessings and curses, that you understand this foundation, because it's going to help you tremendously, I believe, as we go into it. I believe that God's word is there to equip us, to empower us, to show us who he is, to reveal to us his nature and character. And one thing has become extremely clear to me, and that is that God has a desire to bless you. He has a desire to bless you. He has a desire to give you more than you could even ask for. And the reason why is because he loves you. He loves you so much. This can be so difficult for us to understand. I was having a discussion with my own father this week about the fact that he knows a gentleman who finds it really difficult to understand how God could actually know someone personally. And then he said to me, but it's amazing how the word of God says that, you know, God knows every hair on your head. So he knows you very intimately, very personally. No one is in this room today by mistake. You are here for a reason. God is calling you. He's drawing you to himself. And you are here this morning because this message is for you. It's for you. It's for me. I've already preached it. I'm going to preach it again. It's for me again. But it's a foundational message. All I'm going to ask you is please stay for the whole message, because it's important. The whole thing is important. Now, we understand the blessing part, and that's easy for us to grasp. But the next part's a little bit more difficult. But we have to look at what the Word of God says. So let's go in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. If there's blessing, there must be the opposite. If there's hot, there's cold. So if there's blessing, there must be cursing as well. Right? Or let's say this. If there's blessings for obedience, there must be at least consequences for disobedience. It just makes sense, right? What does the word of God say? Deuteronomy 28, 15, just a few verses later, he speaks about the consequences of disobedience. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Disobedience to God will lead to the exact opposite of being obedient to God. Obedience to God, the blessing will overtake you. Disobedience to God, the curse can overtake you. How many of you here this morning have seen in people's lives that things just don't go right? It's like something is wrong. And there's one situation after another. How many of you here can think about maybe their own family or a family you know where there's something that happens to the grandfather, it happens to the father, it happens to the son? Maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a condition of alcohol abuse or something like that. How many of you in this place know of someone that has actually even said, I will never be like my father was, but they become exactly the same? And some of those people are even believers. How is this possible? What is working to make this possible? It has to be the consequences or a curse that needs to be broken. Now, it's very important that you understand right off the bat, so I'm going to give you all an opportunity to take a nice deep breath, that we are in a much better covenant than the old covenant. But we do not throw out the old covenant, because God has never changed. If the Holy Spirit is the one that leads you into truth, where does that truth come from? The truth that he will teach you comes from the Old Testament primarily. How do we know this? Because he spoke in the Old Testament as well. Why would he change his words now if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? if God said that that giraffe will hurt you in the Old Testament, it will still hurt you in the New Testament. The only difference is that we have such a great covenant that there's grace for us. In the Old Testament, they would run. Every time they would sin, they would have to do sacrifices and they would have to do things to be forgiven. In the New Testament, we have the blood of Jesus that breaks the curse and removes it. We don't have to do anything except our heart. I'm going to say that again. Except your heart. Your heart will determine what you do. Now, your heart can also be wicked, which I've learned, which is really hard sometimes. How many of you have realized that sometimes you think your heart is really good, and that's when you realize that scripture that said it's the most wicked thing in you is actually real and true. But we have a great covenant where Jesus died on the cross. Every curse is broken. Every knee will bow. That the power in the cross is absolutely undeniable. But to throw out the Old Testament and what has been taught to us in the Old Testament that leads to destruction is wrong. And I'll prove it to you this morning from the Word of God. The difference between being under the law and under the Spirit, sometimes something very difficult for us to understand. And the truth is, I don't know if we'll ever really understand it completely. I think we will understand a lot of it, but I don't know if we'll ever truly, truly understand it. The only thing I do know for sure is that we are free. But what does God say? What does His Word say? Because that's the truth. Can you say amen? Now just stick with me and we'll get into this morning. It's very clear that the blessing comes from obedience, and the curse or the consequences of life often come from disobedience. I'm not saying that it's always a curse or it's always consequences. I'm saying that it can be. Is that okay? Now, Proverbs 26:2 says this: like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. And 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, you guys need to come on Sunday nights. They're very powerful. Sunday nights are very powerful. I taught you on the power of being a covenant child of God. That if someone outside tries to curse you, if you're a covenant child of God, that curse will fall to the ground. That no one can curse you if you're in Christ, because they have no authority over you. You're in covenant. The story of Balak and Balaam is such a powerful expression of this. And you can go look at it or listen to it 2 weeks ago. But really, the essence of it, or the meat of it, is this. Is that because the children of Israel were blessed by God, no one could curse them. And this guy was trying so hard to get God's permission to curse, and he would not do it because he'd blessed the children of Israel. Guess what? If you're a covenant child of God, if you are blood washed, if you're a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, you as a Gentile are now under that same covenant. You are also protected. You cannot be cursed. In the same story, we see how the children of Israel disobey God. And they begin to have sexual relations with the Midianites. And we see how they begin to worship false God, and a curse comes on them. That curse was not because of Balaam. It was because of their own disobedience. Disobedience opens the door to consequences. We need to understand that. And the only reason why I'm sharing this with you is because I care about you. I love you. I don't want to see you struggle. I see couples. I see children. I see people week after week. You can ask my team. We see them over and over suffering because of consequences of disobedience. Often. And often that disobedience comes from their forefathers. Jesus wants to expose all of that. Because under the new covenant, every curse is broken. Jesus came to set the captive free. He became the curse because He hung on the tree so that the curse could be broken. Amen. All right. You guys okay? Now, let me give you an illustration of this. Let's go to John 5, verse number 5. I'm so glad it's the second service. I can take my time. Amen. The first service, I really had to rush. John 5, verse number 5. Don't worry, the cafe will be open all afternoon. You can get lunch at like 3 o'clock. John 5, verse number 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And I'm going to stop there and pause for just a moment, because I think this is a question that every one of us that are covenant children of God right now need to ask ourselves. Do you want to be made well? Understand that the likelihood is that this man was already a covenant child of God in that time. Because you'll see he goes to the Pharisees afterwards, and afterwards he's also in the temple with Jesus. We'll see that. So more than likely, he was a Jew. That means he was in covenant. Jesus comes and says to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Listen, just because you're in covenant with God doesn't mean that you are walking around 100% healthy, and that's oftentimes because of something that's happened in our bloodline or something that we've allowed in our own lives. But I want you to see what happens, because it's just so powerful, and this is the reality of the cross. Watch now. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." You see, the man was looking at everything else, trying to get into the water, when what was standing right in front of him was grace. What was standing right in front of him was mercy. What was standing right in front of him was love. And Jesus was standing there, and Jesus had the power in one instant to deliver him. Right there in one instant, but he didn't recognize him. Be careful that you don't do the same. You cannot reject God's word because it's not fun or because you don't like it. If God says it's evil, it's evil. If God says it's good, it's good. There is no gray, there is no in between. And there are consequences when we don't obey. Thank God we have the grace of God that we can repent when we make a mistake, and He's good and faithful to forgive us. But I want you to see, because Jesus doesn't finish with this man when He heals him. Take a look. Verse number 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole thing about why it was the Sabbath. Let's go to verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well." How many of you, when you get saved, that's a great day? But look at what Jesus says. "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Lest a worse thing come upon you. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like a curse. It sounds like if we mess around with the things that God is against, it can cause us harm. Can you say amen? This has to be taught. This has to be shown to us, because the Bible explains in plain, originally Greek and Hebrew, now in English, it explains to us plainly what is acceptable and not acceptable to God. And when did He change? He never changed. There's just much more grace even when sin abounds. Grace abounds even more. So He's made a way for us for the curse to be broken. He's made a way for us to get out of those situations. He's made a way of escape for us. So even if you've done the most terrible thing, he will forgive you if your heart chooses to follow Him. But it has to be something that you decide, that you choose to do. Remember, God is the perfect gentleman. You choose. Can you say amen? All right. Let's take a look at, let's go a little deeper. Are you guys okay? All right. Now, in the New Testament, we know that we're not under the law. We are under the Spirit. We're under grace. Let's take a look a little bit at this. And I've shared this with you in times past, but I think it's important in the context of today for us to grasp the concept again. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's powerful. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's so powerful. To know that the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead actually lives in you. That the same Holy Spirit that was in King David, that was in Joseph, that was in the kings of past, the prophets of past, Jesus, the disciples, that same Holy Spirit is the Spirit that lives in you. That means that that Holy Spirit has the power to raise Christ from the dead. Surely He can help you. Surely He can help me. But that means that we have to surrender to Him. It's not about the law. It's about being obedient to His voice. He lives inside of us. Now we have to listen to Him. There's a constant conflict going on inside you. It goes on inside all of us, no matter how holy we think we are. It will always be there. The flesh will always be pulling. But you always have a choice. If you mess up, repent fast. I'll teach you more about that next week. But the fact is that the blessing comes from obedience. Now watch. Watch this now. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So in other words, we should not follow the lusts of the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So in other words, if we obey our own nature and we don't obey the Spirit, who will do what? He will lead us into truth. He will show us what is right and what is wrong. If we choose to follow the flesh, we will end up in a place where we get ourselves into trouble, which can be consequences. That's what the Bible says. Whereas if we are led by the Spirit, we will have life. Now watch. Next verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. These are sons of God. So in the New Testament, we are led by the Spirit. We don't have to be under the law. But it's clear that the Holy Spirit will show us what we should not do. And what we should do. He will convict us. He will show us things. And I can assure you that He's not going to give you some new doctrine that contradicts the Word of God. He will never say to you that it's okay to do something that in His Word He has declared is an offense to me or is wrong. If it's an offense and it causes damage to you, it's wrong, Old Testament and New Testament. It's the same. Because it causes you damage and me damage. It's not like God is there wanting us to just behave. And He wants to spoil our fun. That's not how God is. God knows what is destructive to you. What will cause you harm. What will cause a curse even possibly to come on you. Does it make sense? Okay. So the fact is that Old Testament, New Testament, the voice of God has remained the same. His voice has not changed. Why would He try and teach us something that contradicts everything He's taught us before? The only difference is now we're under grace. We're not under the law. So grace is always working. Grace is alive. Grace empowers you. Grace gives you forgiveness. Grace gives you the ability to get up when you fall. Grace is always working. Watch this now. Let's go to Titus 2, verse number 11. Titus 2, verse number 11. Some people want to believe that in this new dispensation, in this new covenant, we can do whatever we like and there's no consequences. And that grace has appeared to us, and now because of that grace that has appeared to us, we can just do what we want. I want to show you that grace is always moving. It's alive. Grace is Jesus. He's alive and moving and breathing in you, giving you life, giving you the ability to continue, giving the ability to fulfill your destiny and purpose. Watch this. Put that scripture up for me, please. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Stop there. When you get saved, grace will come to you. It has appeared to you. This is called justification. When you get saved, it's like you have not sinned. Like the grace comes to you, His blood washes you clean, and you have been justified because of the blood of Jesus. Grace has appeared to all men. So salvation has come and it has appeared to all men. But that's not the beginning and the end of grace. Next verse. Grace is always doing something. It is teaching us. Everybody say teaching us. So grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. So what does grace teach us to do? Grace teaches us to live soberly and to live godly. So as we're going on our journey, you will make mistakes. Grace will show you that you've made mistakes. You'll repent and you'll keep going. You'll keep going. You'll keep fighting. You'll keep going. Grace will always be there. But grace will teach you that this is wrong, that this is right. Grace is the Holy Spirit actively now working in your life, living inside you. You are a son of God. You listen to His voice. You are led by the Holy Spirit. You begin to move and breathe, and that's how you operate. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But you must be led by the Spirit. You must listen to His voice that is teaching you to live the way that we're supposed to in this, everybody say, present age. That means now. Next verse. Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in this covenant, grace is teaching us what we should and should not do. Grace is showing us where does it come from? Where does the Holy Spirit teach us from? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Let's all go in our Bibles to Romans 7. Romans 7. Verse number 6. Man, it's quiet in Vero Beach this morning. Romans 7, verse number 6. But now we have been delivered from the law. Everybody say, thank God. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetous unless the law had said, you shall not covet. The only way that we know what is right and what is wrong is because of what is in God's word. The writers of the New Testament, all their content comes from the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would inspire them of what was already written and what had already been done. How can we decide that it's non-existent? How can we decide that the things that God has said will cause you damage in the Old Testament will not cause damage today? If the only time the only reason why God would do this is for our own protection, because He loves you, because He wants to bless you. So the Holy Spirit will be the one who leads you, and He will be the one that will teach you what is right and what is wrong. And a lot of those things, for example, blessings and curses, we see scripturally from the Old Testament, and we see the consequences of that. So we can't just throw it away. We need to examine it. Because we will find that by examining the Old Testament, some of the scriptures there, specifically the ones where God says, if you serve another God, you're going to be in trouble. If you practice occultic stuff, you're going to be in trouble. That has not changed, guys. It is still the same. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's the one who reveals that to us. And it will never contradict what he said is good and bad. It will never contradict it. Does it make sense? Okay, everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy. So the Holy Spirit will show you. He will show you exactly. He will show you exactly how to overcome. He will show you that it's the blood of Jesus that gives you the ability. Grace has appeared to you. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to overcome every obstacle, everything. You can overcome every challenge, every adversary, every single thing that the enemy desires to bring, every curse, everything has the ability to be broken because of the blood of Jesus. Our covenant is far greater, far better, because it's a living covenant. We are in constant covenant, in constant communication with God. He will speak to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. The choice is yours. You have to decide whether you're going to listen or not. That's why, over the next few weeks, I'm going to show you out of the Word what can happen if we do certain things and disobey God. Because many of us, I see it all the time. Many of us are carrying things in our lives that need to be dealt with. And you're right. The new covenant is exactly there to break that off your life. It is there for you so that you can be free from anything the enemy would desire to bring against you. Any legal ground or any legal right that the enemy could have in your life can be broken in an instant because of the blood of Jesus. Because of what he's done for you. Because of what has been done on the cross. Remember the story of the lame man. It was Jesus that gave him freedom. It was Jesus that brought him liberty. But he still had to be obedient to the voice of God. As a Christian, we also must be obedient to the things that can cause us harm. But sometimes we need to look into the Old Testament to see what is it that caused damage to the children of Israel? What is it that caused them harm? What is it that would destroy their families, that would destroy generation to generation? What is it that did that, and has God just changed his mind? Can you say amen? I believe with all of my heart that we are in a season right now where this earth, like I prayed earlier on, is going to be shaken. And the only thing that will remain is his word. It doesn't matter what the world says is acceptable. Only God's word will stand. The only thing that will bring you true freedom is, like I said right at the beginning today, is when we totally surrender ourselves to Jesus. When we totally surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit. It's in that moment of surrender that we finally get peace. That the battle, the internal struggle, how many of you can be honest and say that oftentimes you feel like your walk is a struggle? My hand is up. Sometimes it feels like it's a struggle, like am I doing things right? Am I doing things wrong? How do we get out of that struggle? We surrender. What does that mean? That means we obey. Now watch this. In my counseling, which I do very often, like all the time, when I counsel marriage couples, I always use this example because it's so powerful. How many of you believe that it's easy to serve Jesus because he gave everything for you? He gave everything. I mean, he gave his life. There's no greater love than to give your life. It's very interesting to me that he uses the example or the comparison of what he's done and a marriage. If you're married and you have a spouse, or even in a relationship, you'll know that if your spouse is just a taker and they never give, or they never surrender, or they never show you love or do anything for you, it's really hard to do it in return. And there's nothing worse in a relationship when both are just trying to do things their own way. The only time it begins to work is when one of them says, okay, I'm going to give a little bit. I'm going to surrender a bit. And then surrender a little more maybe. And if the other partner surrenders a bit, it begins to get a little bit better. And eventually, we get somewhere. Jesus surrendered everything. Not only in his death, but even in his life. He lived totally selfless. He was completely selfless. He didn't live for himself at all. He gave everything. It's easy to serve him. And we are his bride. All we need to do to have all the blessings of the marriage is just surrender back. It's not about spoiling your fun. It's not about making things difficult for you. It's not about making you feel guilty or bad. It's because he loves you that he wants to protect you. Blessings and curses are spiritual. You cannot see them with your eyes. But obedience brings the blessing. Disobedience can potentially bring a curse or consequences on your life, even to the third and fourth generation and beyond. Let me give you a little example. Abraham was blessed by God. And God said to him that anyone who curses your seed, I will curse. Anyone who's anti-Semitic, you'll notice they're not doing too well. Anyone who comes against Israel, even now, you see God rise up. Some way you see it. This always happens. So you cannot be anti-Semitic because God has blessed. And what he's blessed, no one can curse. The only time Israel gets into trouble is from their own account. When Jesus was with Pilate. Listen to this now. Jesus is with Pilate, and Pilate washes his hands. And he says, this man's blood will not be on my hands. The people said, let it be on our hands and our children's hands. They allowed a curse to work. Through generations, you see it. Don't play with the things of God, guys. He doesn't want you to be obedient because he's like a man up there with a stick. He wants you to be obedient because he loves you and he wants to bless you. You are a covenant child of God. You have the greatest privilege. We are in this new covenant, which is far greater than the old one. Because the blood has been spilt. There's no more sacrifice. We can just go to him now. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He can refresh us, renew us, revitalize us, just like that. If we just give our hearts to him, if we just surrender to him. So we are going to dig into this. We're going to look at it. Because even 2 weeks ago when I did this on a Sunday night, we saw God deliver so many people. When we just spoke about one or two things that the enemy can do. And I believe God wants to touch us. He wants to deliver us. Why? So that he can do even more through you. So that he can bless you. So that the blessing can overtake your life. So many people will come to me, and I'm almost done, and say, well, you know, Pastor Alex, you know, I don't want to do that. And I'll say to them, it doesn't matter what you want. What does the Bible say? If the Bible says you shouldn't do this, then that's what it says. You can't say that, well, you know, I think God wants me to be happy. No, if God says it's going to cause trouble for you, it's going to cause trouble for you. The good news, and this is where this new covenant is so powerful, is that you can repent. And the curse can be broken. You see, there is nothing that can be held against you. If you repent and you begin to surrender, your heart of surrender can break everything in your life and anything in generations past, because He knows you by name and every hair on your head. You are personal to Him. It doesn't matter what happened before. If you choose to surrender, if you choose to lay it all down, if you choose to make the difference, if you choose to be the one who breaks the alcoholism in your life, if you choose to be the one that breaks the curse of addiction in your life, of abuse as a father, if you choose to be that one that breaks it and makes a decision, allow the power of God to come upon you and break every curse and eliminate that demon spirit that's come through the bloodline. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. We will all stand before Him one day, and you will see every knee bow. Man, God is busy doing something. I don't know what it is, but He's busy. He's busy calling His church. He's busy drawing His church. But the difference is that because of the new covenant, because of what He's done by laying down His life, we are not obliged to do anything. We choose to do it. We choose to love Him. We choose to serve Him. We choose to surrender to Him. We will become the true worshipers that God has desired from the very beginning. We will be a people that will serve Him, that will love Him, that will stand in the face of adversity, and we will say that He is our God, and we will follow Him, and we will be led by Him, and we will worship Him, and we will serve Him with everything inside of us, because we choose to do it. And then you will see the greatest outpouring that you have ever seen. And it's busy happening right now. It's busy happening right now. That's why God is busy cleaning out the house. He's cleaning out the house, guys. So when I go into the Old Testament, show you things, it's not to bring you under anything. It's for you to examine your heart and say, okay, maybe I need to sort this out. Maybe I need to pray about this. And I'll show you how easy it is. Not because of any great prayer or anything, but because of the blood of Jesus. Like this, it can break. Like this, in an instant, at the moment of surrender, when you surrender it to Him, the curse will break, just like that. And there are people in this room, even now, that the enemy's had his way in your life far too long, in your family far too long. Poverty through the bloodline, it must come to an end. Addiction through the bloodline, it will come to an end. Calamity through the bloodline, your child had an accident, your grandchild had an accident, it must come to an end. Anything the enemy has had must be eliminated, canceled, broken in the name of Jesus, because we have a better covenant. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's all stand for just a moment. Sorry. Father, in this moment, this morning, it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by Your Spirit that we can surrender to You, that we can have life and life abundantly. It is by Your Spirit. Father, Your word declares in Jeremiah that You have good thoughts, good plans for us. Your word declares that You know us by name. Even before we were formed in our mother's womb, You knew us. For such a time as this, we are here. It can't just be coincidence. It must be Your plan that we are here right now. Father, even here in Vero Beach, this must be Your plan. We choose as a church, as a people, Father, to surrender to You. Not our will, but Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And you will give us everything we need because we choose to surrender to you. You have already been so good to us. You've made a way for us to have life and life eternally and life abundantly. You have made a way. We are so thankful to you this morning, Lord. We choose this morning, Father, for the struggle to end. We put down our hands. We surrender. We surrender to you. We surrender to your will. We choose to obey your voice. From the beginning, you declared it. Now your Spirit is in us, still speaking the same way, with only thoughts of love, of grace, and of mercy. I pray this morning, Father, that every curse will break over every family in this house. Every curse will be lifted and broken in the name of Jesus. Even this morning, Father, even without looking at it, Father, this morning, that every offense will be forgiven. We ask this morning, Lord, that your grace will be poured out because of the blood of Jesus over each and every one of our lives. And we give you thanks for it. We love you for it. If you've come here this morning, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to say to you right there where you are, just surrender to him. If you don't know him, if your life isn't right with him, just surrender to him right now there where you are. Just surrender to him. Just surrender to him. Just say, here I am, Lord, forgive me. Write my name in the book of life. I believe that you are the Son of God. And he will touch you right there where you are. Right there where you are. His goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. His blessing will overtake you. This is your portion. This is his desire for your life. That you will be blessed, that you will be a success. In the name of Jesus. I declare it over this congregation, Father, not because of anything, but because you've already done it. We give you thanks for it, and we praise you and honor you for it this morning in this place in the name of Jesus. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit be with everyone as they leave here today. We thank you, Father. We love you. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.